Our scripture today is found on found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 10. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible, Bible at home, or on the screen here. And as you're looking for that, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this your word that you've freely given to us, helping us to guide us throughout our life. We pray to you this day that our eyes and hearts, our spirit are open to receive this gift of your word. We thank you that you care what's going on in our lives and that you have interceded through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and that we are able to encounter Christ in this very moment. We also ask you for your mercy to be on the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory, for your love, and yours alone. If anything is not from you, Lord, we pray it is forgotten. Thank you for your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 to 10. Hear now God's word. Paul is speaking. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Most of you have heard about Paul's thorn in the side, thorn in the flesh. That's sort of a well-known part about Paul's life. If you haven't, that's okay. We'll describe it a little bit more as we go on. But many have heard about Paul's thorn, and for a long time, I'd even say centuries, people have come up with ideas of what that thorn might be. That thing that he was wrestling with, that thing that he asked Jesus to take away. Thing is we don't know, and that's okay. But what we don't know is what came before the thorn in the flesh. The story we just read about the third heaven, we don't often talk about that part or read that part. But we have to know about that part in order to understand why Paul's bringing up this thorn in his side. The parts are intertwined with one another to the point that they really can't be separated. But to fully understand, again, what's going on in 2 Corinthians 12, we need to go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and talk about the Corinthian church a bit. So we know Paul's story, right, more or less. Excuse me. Paul was a Pharisee. He considered himself the best of all Pharisees, or a really good Pharisee. He followed the law impeccably. He defended his religion. He defended Judaism by prosecuting the Christians, people of the way, who came and would distort what he saw as truth. He saw Stephen stoned. He went to different towns and arrested Christians, threw them into prison, had them fined, had them killed. And Paul's clout in Judaism as a Pharisee just grew and grew, and people trusted him. Till one day he was walking to Damascus, and a bright light shone, and a voice out of that light came and told Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul answered, "You know, who are you?" And Paul's life was changed through Christ's call. Jesus' call was to preach and teach Christianity, the gospel message, to the Gentiles. And Paul did a fantastic job. All of his motivation, all of his drive, all of his gumption that he used to persecute the Christians, he used to now serve them, to preach to them, to share the gospel message. Paul was all in everything he did. He helped to turn hundreds, maybe even thousands of people to Christianity, to tell them the truth. He started so many churches, of which we have letters about them, the Corinthians being one of them. Paul traveled all throughout the known world during that time. The thing was, is Paul could never stay. Whenever he started a church, he would help to organize the church. He would point some leaders, and then he would go to the next town, the next church. But when he left, there was people saw an opportunity of a power vacuum, and they filled it in, and they would start talking bad about Paul, start cutting him down, taking that power from him, trying to have people follow them instead of having people follow Christ. Now, for Paul, he never wanted people to follow him so much as he wanted people to follow Jesus. But the people that were coming in were preaching and teaching inaccurate things. And some of the things that they would say about Paul in order to discredit him would be, is he is not one of the disciples. He never met Jesus. He never saw Jesus. He never walked around with Jesus. He has no significant Christian credentials. Who is he? A guy came off the street. He seems charismatic, and you follow him, but for why? Paul is nothing. So in Corinthians, starting around chapter 10 or so, Paul starts boasting about why people should listen to him, who he is, but he hates doing this. He calls it the fool's speech. Only a fool would boast. When we get to verse 12, he does his best boasting. He says, one day this person, I know a person, he's talking about himself in third person, who's taken up to the third heaven. We're not here to talk about the third heaven, but there are some scripture there that do talk about different layers of heaven, but that's not really the point today. But he says, a person was taken up into the third heaven, a place of honor, a spiritual experience or journey that only the greatest could have. And he had such revelations that he can't even speak about them. This is his credential, his boasting. The thing is, though, about the world that we live in, the more things change, the more they stay the same. That we are fairly similar to what we were as humanity way back during Paul's time. You see, you get used to a certain thing. Certain things have different authorities than other things. Do you know the phrase fanboy? Someone would call you a fanboy. Do you know what that means? Or a fangirl, or a fan. Let's just make it simple. Do you know what a fan is? Who's a fan of baseball? Nobody. Well, good for you. I'm not either. If you're a fan of the Pirates, you know you follow the Pirates. You're a fan of the Steelers, you follow the Steelers. You're a fan of Taylor Swift, you follow Taylor Swift. A fanboy or fangirl was someone who took that interest to another level. You got Star Wars fanboys who collect everything that Star Wars has. They know all the different lines. They know everything there is to know about Star Wars. Fanboys are in on it. Star Wars is the best, or whatever else. Star Trek. I know we got some Star Trek fans. But whatever it is, if you're in on it, you're a fanboy. If you've that's it. You compare it to everything else. There's another form of fanboy. It's called the brand boy. Now, do you know, can you figure out what a brand boy might be? Elijah, he's not here, so I can talk about him freely. Elijah once was a brand boy, not a brand boy anymore. He was an Under Armour boy. He had Under Armour hat, Under Armour shirt, Under Armour shorts, Under Armour shoes, Under Armour socks, and even Under Armour underwear. I mean, he loved Under Armour. He had a few other brands that he enjoyed. Nike was one of them. Adidas, every now and again. I'm sort of a brand boy when it comes to Samsung. Samsung phones, Samsung watch, Samsung earbuds. I'll never go to Apple. It's a brand new interface. I don't know how to use it. I'd be confused for too long. I'll stick with Samsung. And people get this way, different brands. They follow different brands because they trust those brands. They used it before. It worked for them, and they don't want to go anywhere else because they don't know if it works or not. It might not work quite well. You know, and sometimes Samsung doesn't work. But at least I know it. I'm used to it. I don't want to go to Apple where I have to learn something all new. So we get used to things. To try and think about going to a off-brand or a generic brand of something that we use a brand name, that's a tough switch. How many, I love Fruity Pebbles. If you try the generic form of Fruity Pebbles, it is not very good. There's just something missing. So I'm sticking to the brand name Fruity Pebbles. Kellogg's, I think, does it. I don't know. Kellogg's does everything. Maybe it's Post. I have no idea. All I know is that it is good. The people during Paul's time, they're the same thing. Their brand name were the disciples, the 12, those who followed Jesus Christ, those who sat under the teachings of Jesus Christ, those who saw Christ, who touched Christ, who were there during Jesus' ministry. They were the brand name. And then Paul comes along and people says, he's not an apostle. He's not a disciple. Why are you following him? And Paul says, you should be following me because I just teach Christ. It's not about being a brand name. It's not about being a certain group. It's just about, he says it. He says it right here. Got to find it here. Back here. Even considering, back here, here it is. Was God prepared on behalf of boasts except for my own weakness, but boasts I will not be a fool. Where is it? Why am I? Was caught up, but refrain from there it is. But I refrain from it. Refrain from boasting so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard in me. Why don't you just take me for who I am, for what I've done, for what you see? Through Jesus Christ, I've helped to grow churches. I've helped to start churches. People have come to know Christ. Why isn't that enough? Brand boys, fan boys, people who stick with, we get it. Because you're not one of them. You're different. You're humble. You're weak. Paul admits it all the time. He says, I'm not great in speaking. He says, I persecuted the Christians. Now I'm following them. Anything good that is done to me is good because of Jesus Christ. And people take on his, they attach his attack his weaknesses and say, why are you following this weak person? And so Paul felt the need to defend himself. So he shared this story. But in the midst of sharing the story, he said, but none of this matters. He said, God gave me a thorn in my side, something to bring me down, so that I know that in all things I must rely on Christ alone. We don't know what that thorn is. No idea. It could be the fact that he couldn't see. Maybe from that time where he was blinded, his vision didn't recover. It could be that he had some medical illness that wasn't, people weren't aware of that. Maybe he had diabetes or heart disease or something along those lines, something that kept him from doing everything he wanted. Maybe he had depression or anxiety. Whatever it is, he had something that when it came on, when it flared up, when it got too much, he prayed to God, Lord, take this thing from me. But God would tell him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Paul all along trusted that God was helping them in the midst of this, and that was enough for him. And he tried sharing with the people over and over and over again. God's strength is enough. I tell you what, though, we need to hear that message too. Could you imagine for a second if there was a presidential debate and both candidates got up and they started talking and one of the candidates said, I'm old, I can't walk down the steps very well anymore. I can't do this, I can't do that, but somehow I'm able to run this country. Or another candidate said, I'm into money, I love power, but the real power comes from Christ. What if the candidates got up there and admitted their weaknesses? We wouldn't vote for them. Because what we look for is power. We look for know-how. We look for might. We look for confidence. We look for charisma. We look for someone who we know that we can trust will take care of us. And the criteria that we have for that is money and power and experience. That's our criteria. And I get it. You don't want to go to a doctor who graduated last in his class. You want a doctor who graduated first. If that's the only thing you know about them, you got two doctors, Dr. Smith and Dr. Jones. And one doctor graduated first in their class and the other doctor graduated last. Who are you going to? Probably the one who graduated first. Because that's where we put emphasis. Power, experience, know-how. When we judge the churches that are around us, we do the same thing. Well, that church must be better than this one because that church has 150, 3, 4,000 people, and this church has 20. They must be doing something right that this church isn't. That church has a budget of over $9 million. This church has a budget of $130,000. That church must be doing better. But that's not proper criteria. The thing is that all the churches have weaknesses. All the churches have areas where they're not doing something well. They don't have what it is that they might want to. And yet Christ is still using all the churches. Jesus uses the big churches with several thousand. Jesus uses the churches with several. I've been part of the churches with several pretty much my whole time in ministry, and I love those churches. We sit around and we talk about the things that are our weak weaknesses. Number of people, the age of our people, number of children, the budget we have, the age of the building, and we say, if only we can fix all these things, we would be perfect. Paul says this, therefore I am content. Content. Everything's fine. I am okay with my weaknesses, with my insults, with my hardships, with the persecutions, with the calamities that I go through. I'm okay with all of those for Christ's sakes. For whenever I'm weak, then I'm strong. Those things that we see are weaknesses are opportunities for God to work through, to work with, to love through, to love with. This isn't just a church level either. This is an individual level. I look at myself and I see weaknesses galore. Stephanie says to me all the time, Justin, you're doing okay. And I say, I don't think so. She says, no, you are. Because Christ is loving through you. Christ is loving with you. What about this? What about that? What about that? Stephanie says, what about that? Jesus is still working with you and through you. We may not think we are adequate or qualified to do what God is calling us to. And the thing is, we might not be. But Jesus is. And through those things that we perceive that we can't do as our weaknesses, Christ can do it through us. And so we're far better instead of boasting about all the power and all the strength and all the great things. Boast instead about the weaknesses, the things that we feel we are lacking in, because then we can see Christ more clearly. Paul knew he was lacking. Paul knew he made mistakes. Paul had something, a thorn in his side that bothered him. And yet Paul was still able to sit down and say, but yet Christ still loves me. And I still have a job to do, and Christ will get that job done through me. I pray that through Christ's mercy, we're able to say the same. Close with this final benediction from Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Go in peace. Amen and amen.